Book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians and the first chapter. This morning we are going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be a little bit more informal as I bring forth this message to you. This particular message that I am about to preach, I preached in Riverdale, Illinois, back in November. And when I was preparing the message, I had a twofold purpose in mind, not only to preach it to the brethren down there, but also to proclaim it as the last in the series of messages on heaven that we have been considering the last number of weeks. And so this morning I would like to speak to you on the subject of the heavenly kingdom. Now here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, we read these words, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And I call your attention to the word kingdom. It is a word that is used frequently in your scriptures. And here the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Gentiles, reveals to us that we should give thanks unto our Heavenly Father that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and that we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. But before we can render thankfulness unto God that we have been delivered into the kingdom of his dear Son, we must first understand what the kingdom of his dear Son is, and exactly what God the Holy Spirit is teaching us on this particular subject. Now, when we consider the subject of the kingdom, it is a very vast and a very broad subject. And there are many Bible teachers today and pastors who have taken the idea of the kingdom and they have tossed it into the air and it has come down all confused. And many believers today have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and they're confused and frustrated when it comes to the matter of the kingdom. What do we mean by the kingdom of God? And there are various terms and phrases that are used very freely by God the Holy Spirit. There is the kingdom of God. There is the kingdom of his dear Son that we've made reference to already. There is his heavenly kingdom. Then there is the kingdom of heaven. There is the kingdom of Christ. And sometimes the word kingdom stands by itself. And so these are different terms and different phrases that refer to the programs of God that are outlined in the Word of God. And so it is given to us as students and Bereans to study the Word of God diligently that we might have and come to a proper understanding as to what we mean when we use the word kingdom. It's used far too loosely today in the church. Now, to help us and prepare us to understand, we'll divide this message into three areas. First of all, we would like to set the stage and make some general observations. Then our second point will be the kingdom of God in prophecy. And our third part will be the kingdom of God in the mystery program. Now, as we begin to set the stage, we would like to divide our assembly this morning into two parts. Now, it's not very often you'll hear this pastor say that we're going to divide the assembly. We strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and that there's a oneness among us. But for a practical application this morning to try to make this subject crystal clear to you, we'll divide the congregation into two parts. And to my left here, we are going to make them the Jewish nation. And so everyone that is to my left is a part of the nation of Israel. So you need to think Jewish on this side. You're under the law and you're under the prophets and you have observed and understood that you are under the earthly ministry of Christ that is contained in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Nice to have Brother Mike Steiner with us, and I was able to do this with Don Webb down because he was sitting on the left side in Riverdale, and with that nicely kept beard, he just looks like one of the elders of the gate, keeping the gate. And so this side is very befitting for our Jewish company. We have Brother Kubitz as well, another nicely kept beard. So this side just fits the bill perfectly. Now, over on this side, we have the Gentiles, and the Gentiles that are under the Apostle Paul's ministry, and we've come to appreciate salvation by grace through faith apart from the law. And we are a part of that great mystery program of God, and so this side represents the Gentiles who are saved by grace with a heavenly hope. Now, with that in mind, we have prophecy on this side and God's prophetic program to Israel and the earth, which is prominent. And on my right, we have the mystery program with the Gentiles with the heavenly hope, which is prevalent. Now, with that all in mind, as we consider the matter of the kingdom of God, you need to realize that the term or the phrase kingdom of God, when you read it in your scriptures, is a very broad and a very general term. We call it a generic term. It's like the word church in your Bible. If I say to you, do you believe in the church? Your response back to me has to be what? What church? That's right. You have to respond, what church? Am I referring to the messianic church that are called out to reign with Christ on the earth? Or am I referring to the church, the body of Jesus Christ, who will reign with Christ in the heavenly? And so the term church must always be qualified by the context. And that is also the case with the phrase kingdom of God. We must consider what aspect of the kingdom of God are we referring to, because both of these people are under the kingdom of God. God's prophetic program is a part of the kingdom of God and the Israelites that are on my left. But also the Gentiles, Paul is very clear on, that they are a part of the kingdom of God as well, but in a different aspect and in a completely different sense than their Jewish counterparts on the other side of the room. And so we can include you all in a very general sense that you are in the kingdom of God and under its realm of authority. Now, we would like to address our Jewish brethren on this side. Now, we want you Gentiles over here to pay very close attention because you need to know what God's doing over here in prophecy. Let's take our scriptures and let's turn to the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1.
Now when we come back to the gospel according to Mark, Israel is the favored nation, and our Lord is conducting his earthly ministry to Israel. And you will recall that John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah, and he was preparing the way for the coming of Messiah, that his way might be straight and prepared, that Israel might receive her Messiah. But Israel refused to hearken unto the preaching of John the Baptist, and they put him to death. And in Mark chapter 1, in verse 14, we pick up by reading, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." So John the Baptist had gone forth in the prophetic program here to Israel, and he had for some years been preaching the good news of the kingdom of God to the nation of Israel. And you'll notice in verse 15, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So after John was put to death, then our Lord continued his ministry, and he began to preach the kingdom of God to Israel, that it was at hand. And you will notice there in verse 14 that Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom of God. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, if you would. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12 would be the parallel narrative. It's referring to the exact same time that we just read about in Mark chapter 1. In Matthew 4:12 we read, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee." So we're talking about the exact same time period that Mark was referring to. Then verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of what is at hand? Heaven." So here we learn through the direction and teaching of the Holy Spirit that in prophecy, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are synonymous. It refers to the same thing. Now, what does the kingdom of heaven refer to? It refers to that part of the kingdom of God which is going to be set up and established on the earth. You see, all of you Israelites have an earthly hope all the way back to Abraham. God had promised to Abraham that he would be a great nation and a great people would come from him. And he would inherit a land, which is the land of Israel. Sometimes we call it Palestine. So Israel had an earthly hope, and through the law and the prophets, she was looking forward for her Messiah to return to set up a literal, earthly, physical kingdom on the earth. And in that kingdom, Christ would rule and reign in righteousness. Now the question comes to our minds as we consider this aspect, your aspect of the kingdom of God. Why would the Lord, through the inspiration of the scriptures, refer to it as the kingdom of heaven if it's going to be a 1,000-year reign on the earth? Well, let's turn to the Gospel of John, if you would. John chapter 14. Gospel according to John chapter 14 and verse 1. The Lord says to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now we must understand the setting and who the Apostle John is writing to. He isn't writing to the Gentiles over here, members of the body of Christ. He is writing to the nation of Israel. He is writing to his countrymen, to the Jews. He refers to the Passover. He refers to the temple very frequently. He refers here to the Father's house, which was the temple in Jerusalem. So here we do not have an account concerning the rapture, but instead we have the account of the second coming of Christ on Israel's behalf. And here the Lord teaches them in verse 3 that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Where was the Lord standing when he said that? He was on the earth, wasn't he? While he was in the upper room, it was just before his death, he was in the upper room with his 12 Jewish apostles, and he revealed to them that he was going to go away, and I take that he was going back to heaven to prepare a place for them, and that he would come again back to the earth for Israel to set up that kingdom. Now, let's turn back to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added, this is the Lord, adding and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. You see, the Lord went forth preaching the kingdom in his hand, it's coming. He was doing miracles. He was raising the dead because Israel was promised healing in that earthly kingdom. And so they could see that it was drawing nearer and nearer and nearer, and they thought it was going to appear immediately, right there in their day. But notice what the Lord says to them in the parable in verse 12 of Luke 19, he said, therefore a certain nobleman, which is referring to Christ himself, went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So if we put all of this together, what the Lord is teaching his disciples and to Israel over here is that he would go away in the ascension. He would receive the kingdom from the Father in that far country, and he would bring that kingdom, which is heavenly in character, back to the earth, and on the earth, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, it will be like heaven on earth. And you see, that's why it's called the kingdom of heaven. Because Christ will reign on the earth, and it will be like heaven on earth when he's here. And this is a part of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven that was promised to you Israelites here. Now, that same book, turn back to Luke chapter 1. In this promise of the kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ to Israel, she was promised many physical blessings. She also had spiritual blessings in the kingdom of God that she was under. But her physical blessing took prominence over her spiritual blessing. And here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 68 we read, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. There is the substantiating verse of the kingdom. Then, if you will drop down to verse 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. So Israel was promised physical deliverance from the hand of her enemies in this kingdom that she was promised. And that was the most prominent thing in her thinking. That's why when Christ came as the babe, in the form of a babe, in Bethlehem's manger, they didn't believe that was their Messiah. Because they were looking, according to the prophet, to the Lord returning in great power and glory with his angels to wipe the enemies of Israel off of the face of the earth. So they were looking up for the coming king and Messiah to set up that kingdom on the earth. They weren't looking for the lowly Jesus in Bethlehem's manger. They were looking with great anticipation for that physical deliverance that she had been promised. When the curse would be lifted from the earth and the desert will blossom like the rose during that 1,000-year period. When she would be healed from all of her physical infirmities. And so the physical deliverance of Israel from her enemies and from her physical infirmities was prominent in her mind and thinking under the kingdom that was promised unto them. So the kingdom of heaven refers to Israel in prophecy. It's a part of the great kingdom of God that Israel was under, and she was promised physical deliverance. Now she had spiritual blessings as well, but to her, physical deliverance was prominent. All right, now you just pay attention here because we're going over to the Gentiles now. Now, let's turn in our Bible to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and Colossians chapter 4, if you would. After God set Israel aside over on this side, he turned to us, the Gentiles. Now, there's coming a day that he's going to go back to Israel and fulfill his promises. But those Gentiles, those Israelites on my left over here, they're all set aside here temporarily, and their program's being held in abeyance. But God will come back to them someday. Right now, he's doing something new and different among us, the Gentiles, as we've been learning in our Sunday school hour in the morning. Here in Colossians chapter 20 and verse 24, we read, Acts 20, 24 and Colossians 4. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Now, Paul is at Ephesus. He had founded the church at Ephesus. It was a Gentile territory. They were heathen. They were lost, and they needed a Savior. And Paul came into that region and city, and he preached the gospel of the grace of God unto them, and they responded to that, and they were saved by the grace of God. Now, the apostle is about to leave Ephesus, but notice he said how he had gone forth preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. So it shows to us that the Gentiles are a part of the kingdom of God, and they're under its realm of authority as well, but in a completely different sense, as we're going to see in a moment. Also in Colossians chapter 4, one of his later epistles, in verse 11, notice how, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. So here the Apostle Paul makes it very plain that the mystery program and those who are a part of us, which would be us, the members of the body of Christ, we too are under the authority of the kingdom of God. Now, back in Colossians chapter 1, just a page over, notice how it is promised to us that at our conversion, we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so today, we don't have to believe on Israel's Messiah. We believe Christ is Israel's Messiah, but that's not the terms of salvation for us. The terms of salvation for us to get into the kingdom of God today is simply believing that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And if you will believe that, placing your trust and confidence in the finished work of Christ, then God will deliver you from the power of darkness, and He'll translate you into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, in this heavenly kingdom now that we are in, after we are saved by the grace of God, we have a heavenly home, unlike Israel that had the earthly home. We have a heavenly hope in Christ, and we will spend eternity with Christ in the heavenly, ruling and reigning with Him there. And so with that in mind, Paul says in Ephesians 1:3 that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings today. And so the spiritual blessings are prominent to us. We look to the redemption and the forgiveness of our sins through Christ's shed blood according to the riches of His grace. That's a spiritual blessing that we've laid hold on, and it's grown dear to our hearts that we are forgiven in Christ. Also, we've received the adoption that we are full-grown sons, mature. Even the hour you're saved, the scriptures say you're a full-grown son with rights and privileges that you're going to share with Christ in the heavenly. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly. These are some of the riches of His grace upon the Gentiles, and we have been the recipients of His grace to the praise of His glory. So to us, the Gentiles, as members of the body of Christ, we're saved by grace through faith apart from the law, and we have a heavenly hope, and it is prominent in our understanding and in our Christian lives that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings and that we will be with Christ. Now, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4:18. Here in Timothy, we have Paul's last letter to one of his co-laborers just before his execution. And in verse 18 we read, "And the Lord," this is Paul speaking from a Roman prison, "shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His" what? "Heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now Paul was already saved. He was already blessed with spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Here he refers to Christ preserving him unto His heavenly kingdom. And it's referring to a place in the heavenlies that we're going to be with Christ. So the heavenly kingdom is up above us, and that promise to us as Gentiles, as members of the body of Christ, it's a place. And it's heavenly in character as well, but it's up above us in the third heaven, where the seat and throne of God is located. So is it proper today to say that we're a part of a heavenly kingdom? Yes or no? Yes. Amen. Certainly. We've gone so far in our distinction that we as members of the body of Christ, we don't even like to use the word kingdom, because we get confused with that group over there, see. But there is the kingdom of God in which we have a connection to today, and it's his heavenly aspect of his kingdom in the third heaven. And Paul says that the Lord's going to preserve me unto that heavenly kingdom. Now, let's put all this together. As we see the two different programs of God, the two different peoples of Israel and the church, the body of Christ, and the two different aspects of the kingdom of God. These folks over here, who are Jews and Israelites, they are going to be right here on the earth. And they are going to have physical blessings in that kingdom. They're going to reign on the earth with Christ. But we who are the Gentiles have a higher calling as the body of Christ, because while Israel's going to reign on the earth, we as the Gentiles are going to reign over the earth in the heavenly kingdom that we are promised to be a part of. So the Israelites reign on the earth. The Gentiles, who are body of Christ members, are going to reign over the earth with Christ throughout the ages and ages to come. Don't we have a great future, brethren, as the church, the body of Christ? And I said it in Riverdale, and I'll say it here. The body of Christ, we who are the Gentiles saved today through Christ, have a higher calling and a higher privilege than the nation of Israel. And the reason for that is because we walk by faith and not by sight. And God has given us a higher position than his earthly people. Now, I have a question for you. Why is it that believers today want to drift over to this side and put themselves back under the law, back under something that's inferior, when we have so much more in Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings? It's beyond me, but it seems to be a characteristic of many believers. Let us appreciate and be thankful to God this morning that we've been translated into the heavenly kingdom of his dear Son, and we're a part of the kingdom of God as well, but as Gentiles, and with a different hope and a completely different inheritance. So we hope that as we conclude our series on heaven this morning, that it is a befitting message to conclude with of where our eternal destiny will be spent as the Gentiles. All right, you Jews now can become Gentiles again. So we're all one again. All right, let's close in prayer, shall we? Our God and our Father, we're thankful for this time together with these of like precious faith. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we might come to appreciate the blessings that we have in Christ. May we appropriate them by faith. May we, because of having been here this day and under the ministry of thy word, have a better and a clearer understanding that we are the members of the body of Christ this day and blessed richly in the heavenlies. Help us to appropriate these blessings that we might bring honor and glory to thy name. And we'll be careful to return thanks. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.